could have your attention. We all know the verse where it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Proverbs 6:6. The ant is a very good example. Bees could be used as a similar example. When God wrote the law to the children of Israel, He said, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God never had to say that about bees or ants. Why? The success of the bee or the ant can be attributed to one thing: no free will. They don't have free will. They are locked into a behavior pattern by God-given instinct. They are forced by their very nature to obey God's laws for them. Do you know that bees never sin? Ants never sin. God has put a yoke of instinct upon the little creature. It's a pattern for success. It is their very life and survival. No matter where you take them, no matter where you put them, they begin to establish this very pattern. It's interesting. You can take bees and you can move them all the way across the United States and set them up somewhere where they've never been, and they still begin to develop the very same pattern they did elsewhere. They don't need to be taught, and they don't need to go to school. They begin as soon as they are born. I heard the new bees' first job is to clean out their own cell. Think of it. Cleaning your own room without even being told. Imagine that. New bees clean the hive and nurse the young. The older bees go out and fly and gather the nectar. Some begin making wax and building comb when there's a need. Some feed and care for the queen. If the queen dies, they take some larvae and make another queen. They are consistent and predictable. They are successful and productive. The only things that could destroy their success are, number one, if they were to leave off even one aspect of God's program. In fact, that happens maybe through a loss of genetic information, the breakdown. Some become so passive that mites become a major problem. We find that the wilder bees don't have mite problems. They take care of it. But there's a loss of information in the more domesticated bees, and so therefore the beekeeper has to treat them and take care of them unless there's a crossbreeding and bringing back some lost information to where they would again be able to deal with it themselves. So that's one thing that could destroy their success. Another thing would be an outside force that they cannot overcome. Well, this sounds like the way it ought to be with Christians, isn't it? What if some bees were given free will and decided to cast off the yoke of God's program? It would be disaster. What if they decided to seek out an easier way? Eat more honey and do less work? It would be disaster. What if they aborted their babies to make their life easier? Or just, you know, decided not to have so many? What if half the hive tried to live on the labor of the other half of the hive? What if they decided they didn't need a queen, so they stopped taking care of her? What if they knew they had duties and they shirked on their duties, and so those who were depending on them to do their duties were disappointed because you didn't do your duty? Now that didn't get done. Now I've got to do it. There would be chaos in the hive. What if the new bees that were born, all wanted to fly off and be workers and leave the cleaning of the hive to someone else? What if everyone wanted to be a queen or a drone rather than doing what God called them to do? And what if they spent their time arguing about who was most important or whose job was the most important or the hardest or the most complex, and therefore they compared themselves among themselves It would be disaster in the hive. During the summer months, bees work themselves literally to death in what, 6-8 weeks? Because they are committed to a behavior pattern. They have the law of God in their very nature. They can do nothing else. And they obey God's law for them to death. And so what do we want? We want to get bees. Why? Because they're productive. You give them what they need and they are going to produce. Okay? They're going to do what they're supposed to do. They're going to be productive. They're going to grow the hive to the point where there's extra honey for you. Amazing, isn't it? So from the bees, we can learn what it would be like if everyone in the church obeyed God's laws. God's law for us is not exactly the same as God's law for the bees. But if we were all locked in to God's law the way the bees are, our church would be a humming, busy, productive unit. We would be like the bees. We would be all busy about our business, minding our own business, doing what God called us to do. We would be productive, and we would all work together in harmony, and it would be a glorious thing, and God would get the glory. Yeah. Well, is it not true that we as Christians ought to surrender our free will to God's program? And lock ourselves into a behavior pattern and not give ourselves the liberty to exercise our will outside that behavior pattern. So that would be that everywhere Christians go, everywhere in the world that Christians would be found, they would be all busy doing the same thing. They'd all be busy and productive and working together. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one to another. In other words, you are all busy doing what you're supposed to do and caring for one another and caring for the hive, because the hive is the life of the individual bee. Amen. The individual bee's life depends on the life of the hive. So, if anywhere you would find Christians in the world, oh, you're a Christian? Well, you could just know that you would know what they're doing. Because I can find any bee anywhere in the world, or any ant, and they're doing what all the other ants are doing, and what all the other bees are doing in the world. For one reason. They're locked into a behavior pattern. And we ought to be. The bee knows, or whether he knows it or not, the behavior pattern, God's law for him, is his life. It's his very life. Otherwise, there would be no bees. They'd all go extinct. Do Christians see God's behavior pattern as their very life? Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. God never had to say that about bees, because God put such a heart in them. They can do no other. They are predestined to do as they do. And that's what predestination looks like, folks. Amen. Okay? That's what it means if somebody is the elect of God to do what God's bidding is, and they don't have free will. They would be like a bee.
Yes, right.
Okay? Humans are not. We are not predestined to act a certain way, and we are not bees. We have free will. Okay? Now, God has predestined that He wants us to act a certain way, but we are not predestined to act that way. That's a choice. Deuteronomy 32:45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, and ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. God has a program for you, for us, just like God has a program for the bees. Just like God has a program for the ants. He has a program for His people. The only difference is we are not locked into God's program for us as they are. That's the only difference. We have free will. But you know what? There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. God cannot have a love relationship with bees. It requires free will. Bees are predestined to be what they are. Grace, long-suffering, forgiveness is never appropriate speech for bees.
That's right.
Because they never sin. They're not accountable even for their actions. God made them act that way. They can do no other. To send a bee to hell would be unjust.
Right.
Because he's doing what he was made to do.
Right.
Okay? That is what Calvinism wants to say about us. It's not true.
Amen.
To take a bee, to reward a bee, would also be unjust. If they are good, they didn't choose it. There's no virtue in being good when you can't do anything else. Okay? There's no sin in being bad when you can't do anything else. Well, many people want to think that once you're born again, you become a new creature, right? So you're just like the bee, and you automatically live right, and you automatically persevere and overcome. The Bible says, he that believeth that Jesus, you know, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Okay, we're talking about the traits of one who is doing what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
We're not talking about an automatic lock-in of behavior pattern. God has made man in His own image with ability to reason and choose and love. We are supposed to be the intelligent beings who can reason and choose. The bees are locked in. The intelligence they have is given them. The moment they're born, they know what to do, and they start doing it. There's many creatures in the world, the animal world. As soon as they hatch, or as soon as they're born, there's very little of instruction. You can take a bunch of eggs and put them in an incubator, and you can hatch them out and give them food and water, and they will be a chicken. They grow up and act just like the chicken, but they don't have any mama to teach them. It's already built in. A behavior pattern. Same with bees and any other creatures. People, we folks, are supposed to be the intelligent ones. We are supposed to have the intelligence that we can observe and learn and say this is wise and that is unwise and this is the right thing to do and that's the wrong thing to do. Because we were made in the image of God. The question, are we the intelligent ones? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Well, we can be the intelligent ones. Let's put it that way. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the program as much as they need to know it. They know the direction they ought to go. They know what they ought to do, at least in the beginning steps. But they hold it and continue to work against it. Ungodliness has to do with our relationship with God primarily, and unrighteousness with our fellow man. And men hold the truth and continue in their unrighteousness. God is never angry at bees. But God can't have a love relationship with bees either. It says here, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Because God has showed it unto them. He hasn't locked them into it, but He showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, not appropriate, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we're supposed to be the intelligent creatures. In chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God. There's a program. There's a program that He wants you to get into. And the goodness of God is trying to lead you to that. He wants to lead you to repentance. Never had to do that with a bee. He's showing goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, trying to get you to do what is smart, trying to get you to do what is for your life. Well, who would want to resist such a thing as that? In fact, we find in Romans chapter 8, a rundown of the goodness of God, this program. 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Well, His purpose begins by His goodness leading you to repentance. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. God wants to take you through His program. Okay? This foreknowledge, it has to do with foreknowing a group, a pattern, a program, a character, a quality of individual. Okay? He is calling you. This is the same program spoken of where it says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. This is the same program. It's obvious that it can be rejected. Okay, it's the same program spoken of in Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. We're talking about the goodness of God again here, right? On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, that also shall be cut off. Okay, so the person that gets cut off here was somewhere in this program. And it ceased. The poor people over here, he was trying to get them in the program, and they wouldn't do it. So don't tell me that this program is a locked-in behavior pattern. That, you know, once God predestined you, that's not what it's speaking of. We've already proved that. And I could prove it again. You go back up to the beginning of Romans 11, and he talks about, hath God cast away His people? He said, verse 2, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Now, if you follow that all the way through, you'll find that the people that He foreknew was a group that He wanted to save, the bride. You'll find that some were cut off from that group, and they could be grafted back into it. You'll find that the Gentiles were grafted into that group. Okay? Same group we're talking about. So, it's not a locked behavior pattern like the bees. Okay? You are not predestined to be what you are. You are predestined. Okay, God predetermined that He wanted to take you through this program. He wanted to conform you to the image of His Son. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be justified. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be glorified. But you can be cut off. Okay? You are not a bee. You are not locked into anything. You have free will. God does not have to get angry with bees. God does not have to show forbearance and long-suffering and all that. God does not have to try and lead them to repentance. They don't need to repent. When someone is predestined to something, they can't sin.
That's right.
Okay? They're locked in. Okay? If everything is predestined, then to send anybody to hell is unjust.
That's right.
Because that's just the way God predestined them to be.
Right.
Like the bees. Okay. The goodness of God has a program. It wants to lead you to repentance. From there, it wants to justify you. From there, it wants to glorify you, sanctify you, and bring you to glory. God has a program. You have to continue in His goodness. Now, the question is, can we figure this out? Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey? His servants ye are. That's not real deep, is it? To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. In other words, you repented of going in your own program. You got into God's program. You locked into obeying His precepts and the behavior pattern that He had for you. You locked yourself into it. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What type of honey did you produce then? What type of hive did you have then? What type of productivity did you have then? Now you're ashamed of what you had. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin or the transgression of God's behavior pattern, the transgression of the law, and become servants to God, you've locked yourself under His authority, you've limited yourself to His behavior pattern, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. This could not be said of bees. They have nothing to do in the matter. They are predestined to what they are. We read Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. That could not be said about bees. They have no choice in the matter. Though God gives man free will, and they can choose to follow His program or not, He does not have freedom to choose disobedience. I mean, He has freedom to, but He doesn't have permission to. Okay? Yes, you have free will. God gave you a choice. He gave you freedom to choose. He didn't give you permission to sin. He didn't give you permission to choose disobedience. God will judge you for your choices. You say, wouldn't it have been nicer if God had just locked us in? Well, there's a reason. We're getting there. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Notice the difference between a stranger and a foreigner and a fellow citizen. A fellow citizen is someone who's locked into a behavior pattern. He says here, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. If you want to come and live in my household, you're going to have to come under the rules. You're going to have to submit to a behavior pattern. Okay? And when you become fellow citizens with the holy people, the saints, and of the household of God, there's responsibilities attached and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There is a program, a format. There is due order. This isn't something I claim or a title I wear. This is something I do day in and day out. Ephesians 4, we have the operation there in the same book. He kind of lays it out for us in Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The program that you're called into. The walk that He's called you to. We've got to walk worthy of this. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit. In other words, there is one program. Amen. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In other words, it's just declaiming that this is God, okay? The one who set the program up is God. He that ascended also descended. He came from heaven. Okay, there is one God, one faith, there is one program. But we all have our little part to play in that program. And he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, just like the beehive. God has a program. Everybody has a part. Everybody needs to be responsible in doing their part. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, he said that those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is how it happens. He wanted us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He envisioned, the word foreknew and envision are a lot the same. He envisioned the hive that he wanted to have. He envisioned how all of his people would be working just like the bees. He envisioned a body. He envisioned a bride. He envisioned a people group. And then he worked to produce it. Okay? We have a part in that. When we lock ourselves into the behavior pattern that he set, when we commit ourselves to his laws, we begin developing what he wanted. We become partakers of the divine nature. We begin developing the young to grow up and fill the roles. We develop our own Christian hive, the body of Christ, the household of God, and we begin producing the fruit, the honey that he's looking for, so to speak. What happens is, we are too prone to forsake the behavior pattern when we become successful. Imagine if the bees would do that. Imagine if the bees got going and they were producing honey and they had all their young and the queen was laying. Everything was going good. And so they just all stopped doing what they were supposed to do. Time to kick back, guys. We got a lot of honey. What would happen? Everything would go to pieces. In Deuteronomy 32, we find that's exactly what God's people did. God had a people envisioned. He envisioned them to be a certain way. He worked and worked with them to get them that way. He gave them laws. He gave them a program. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and righteous is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. They did not turn out to be the people that he foreknew or envisioned. The people that he had decided that he wanted, they as a nation failed. It says here, "Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun," another word for Jacob or Israel, "waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger." And it goes on down. That was never said of bees. That was said of God's people that he foreknew, that he envisioned, that he tried to develop, and they recompensed evil for his good. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name?" And you say, "Wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar," and you say, "Wherein have we polluted thee?" And then you say, "The table of the Lord is contemptible, and you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" Sad situation. Chapter 2, we find God also dealing with them. Verse 8, "But you are departed out of the way, the behavior pattern that I gave you. You have caused many to stumble at my law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. According as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." Turn over to Malachi 3. Bees never insult God this way. Ants never insult God this way. But people do. "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Bees have never insulted and provoked the wrath of God. We can. We have. But there's another side to this. Verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." The bees have never insulted and provoked the wrath of God, but the bees cannot be his special treasure either. The bee cannot be his jewels. Why? They are locked into a behavior pattern. They are predestined to act the way they act, and they act that way because that's the way God made them, and so they have no sin, but they also really have no virtue. They cannot love God. They cannot hate God. There can be no relationship. They are like little machines that God made that do what they're supposed to do. They don't reason. They don't choose. They don't decide. They do what they're built to do. So God cannot have that close relationship. He cannot value their decisions because they don't make any. But you and I, we have great potential for both. We have great potential to insult God. We have great potential to provoke His wrath. But we have great potential to please Him. We have great potential to be the focus of His love. We have great potential to be His jewels. We have great potential to have a love relationship that is meaningful to God. And if God had predestined us to fit a certain behavior pattern or a certain path of life, that would be impossible.
Right.
Free will was given for this purpose. God can't fellowship with bees. He can fellowship with you and I. We have rationale. We have an intelligence. We can reason. We can worship Him. We can appreciate. We can say Your law is right. God, how wonderful is Thy laws. We can taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Bees can't do that. They just do what they're supposed to do. James 2:23, it says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God." That was a choice. "And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You have that potential. That's what free will is all about. You can make Him mad, or you can make Him glad. You can be His peculiar treasure, or you can be the object of His wrath. That's why God didn't lock you in. That's why you're not predestined to be a certain thing. That is just like the bees and the ants. God isn't working and creating and preparing a place in heaven for the bees. God isn't looking to reward them for all their labor. The bee cannot say, "I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course." The bee just does what he's supposed to do because that's the way he's made to do it. Okay? But you and I, we choose. We choose day in and day out. We make choices. We can read His Word. God didn't have to give the bees a Bible. They don't need a Bible. The ants don't need a Bible. They don't even need a prophet. They don't need a preacher. It's all locked in. God gave us His Word. We can read it. We can choose to obey it. We can carefully pay attention. We can order our life. We can lock ourselves into a behavior pattern that we find in the Word, and we can become His precious jewels. Because, as I've said before, what we become when we become His precious jewels cannot just be created. Are you listening? He can create a bee that never sins and never breaks His law, but that's different. For someone to have free will, to choose to love God, to choose to worship Him, to choose to limit himself to this behavior pattern, to choose to love righteousness and choose righteousness and fight a good fight and finish their course and keep the faith, is something that only you and I can do, and it's something precious because you can't just create it.
Right.
It takes time, it takes experience, it takes battle after battle, day after day, choice after choice, decision after decision to produce what we can be for God. It's something precious to God. So precious that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem us after we blew it. He never did that for a bee. Bees are wonderful little creatures. But that's not who God wants to spend eternity with. They cannot be His precious treasure. Because they can't choose. You have incredible potential here this morning, young people, to be the friend of God. Or to be the enemy of God. If you love the world, the Bible says you're the enemy of God. If you love the ways, the attitudes, the values of this world that is in rebellion to God, you side with the enemies of God. You have great potential. The question is, are you an intelligent enough being to do by your own free will that which bees do by nature? That's the question. Let's stand together. I hope that I'm smart enough with the little life that I have to cash in on a wonderful opportunity. I hope I'm not so foolish as to take the grandest opportunity the universe has ever known and blow it. That would be a great revelation of my lack of intelligence, wouldn't it? Any thoughts before we go to prayer?
The challenge is to us to adopt God's value system. Just like you explained, what He's seeking to produce is far more valuable than anything He would just be able to create. Can we grasp that?
Yeah.
That all the things that we're afraid it will cost us is like nothing in comparison to what He's seeking to accomplish, the value of it.
And can we even fathom the blessing and reward that God is looking to pour upon those who become His peculiar treasure? I mean, think about it. If you were God and you looked down and you said, consider my servant Job. He does, you know, consider this person, consider Abraham my friend. God has the power to bless that person eternally in ways that you can't fathom. And God is looking, He's looking to pour out His mercy and grace and love on His jewels. He wants to. The goodness of God leads His enemies to repentance.
Yes.
If they will hearken. Because He knows. He's like, guys, if you could only see what I've got in store for you, you just follow the program. Well, do we believe Him? That's the issue. Do we believe Him?
Yes.